Good afternoon and welcome to Visions in Sound. My name is Rob Daniels. This week's program is another of the many, many composer features that I do. And this week's specific composer is Jeff Cardone. Now, before you all go, who? Well, Jeff is probably best known for his scores to the TV series CSI Miami. Now, however, Jeff has worked and continues to work in some very high-profile projects. Hope to present a lot of those today. Now, I had the great opportunity to speak to Jeff, and here is part one of the interview that I did with him.
What is your musical background?
Musical background. I was tortured with classical piano from age 6 till about 16. You know, did all the recitals and the whole thing. During my teenage years, I rebelled and bought a drum set, and I joined some rock bands, eventually picked up guitar. And then for, you know, my early 20s, I toured around playing guitar in a band, and which led me to L.A., and that's how I got into this whole thing. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, piano was the foundation of it all, cool. Which is... helped me out much, a lot these days. In my band, our bass player had a brother who was a music supervisor out here in L.A. You know, during the mid-90s when, you know, movie soundtracks and all that was just going crazy. So I came out a few times through the years and played guitar on some of his things. And, you know, I was always kind of the mad scientist of the band. And to be honest, I was never really... It became apparent to me that the band situation wasn't good for me because I was too much of a control freak and liked to just sit in the studio and write. This guy John, opened my eyes to the whole film scoring business. I never really thought of making the transition or how I would do it, but he kind of introduced me to some people, and I saw that, wow, that's really what I want to be doing. So I moved out here, cold, not really knowing anyone except him, and just tried to figure out a way to get into this, you know. And it seems like everyone's got some wacky story of how they end up in this business, you know. I mean, it seems like if you talk to a lot of people, a lot of them started out in some totally different thing, and then some twist of events happens, and all of a sudden they're a film composer. You know, I kind of thought that's what I wanted to do when I was playing piano. I was always into movie music, but then I took a sidetrack for a while. But then once I rediscovered it, it seemed like that is the reason to create music for me. I mean, when I felt like in a band, I never felt content, you know. Mm. But now I feel like this is really what I was put here to do. I mean, it's the greatest gig in the world.
Cool. So, what is the first thing you do when you begin to write a score?
Well, you know, if you're talking a movie, then it seems I'm a melody guy, so I always try to sit down at the piano with some paper, and just try to come up with a hook for the movie, a melody, you know. That's kind of the seed for me. But, you know, these days with you know, the scores are all over the place, especially on the lower budget types of things. So to me, the what it's going to sound like, the palette of sound is as important as the melody, sometimes more so. That being said, I do like to think that I'm still thematic, even if it's a more ambient kind of score. I'm still a believer in the old have a theme for a movie. So, yeah, I would say first trying to come up with a melody, second trying to come up with what's going to be playing it, what's the palette of sound. Mm-hmm. TV, it's a little different. In CSI Miami, it's definitely sometimes a little more style over substance. And that's just the nature of that gig. I don't consider myself as much of a synth sound designer type guy as some other guys who are just fantastic at it. So that's actually harder for me a lot of times.
Okay. So how did you first become involved with the TV series CSI Miami?
I had a friend who's a music supervisor. I was working out of my house. I had this little house in West Hollywood where my studio was. And his office was in Santa Monica. There was a came open right next to his office. He said, you should come down and check this out. So I went there, decided to roll the dice and rent the studio, which I really couldn't you know, afford at the time, but it seemed like a good place to be. I mean, it was right in the middle of everything. So I got in there and started doing some little things, and then one day I got a knock on the door, and he said he was the music supervisor on CSI Miami. So we've been friends 3 years, and I demoed on the series before it started, when they were just getting started. I had met Danny Cannon on the EP back in the day, and he had heard some of my music, and I had done a short film for a friend of his on CSI, and so they knew who I was, and I demoed, and I think I did pretty well on the initial demos, but, you know, at the end of the day, I went to Kurt Marvel, and can't really compete with that.
No.
So anyway, flash forward a year and a half, and I was sitting in the studio, and my friend came over, and he said, look, they're making a change on the show. Can you demo? I did a whole show over the weekend and turned it in, and by some act of God, I got the gig.
Well, now, you mentioned a couple of times demoing something. What is involved in that process?
For me, it seems totally natural, and I, you know, depending on where you are in the hierarchy of the business, you know, I'm sure some of the big guy, I'm sure Danny Elfman isn't demoing for a film, you know, mm-hmm. but still proving who you are, and people want to hear something, and not just, a lot of times people are sending CDs around on projects, you know, and people send general demos, but I think at the end of the day, for a specific project, they want to hear music that sounds like their project. You know, a lot of people aren't going to make the leap of faith if you send them a general demo that, well, one of these might be, he might be able to do what we're looking for. So, mm-hmm. you know, for me, a lot of time, anytime I'm submitting on a project, I try to write something specific for it. If you hit someone with something that sounds like their project, you've definitely got a better shot than just having them make the leap of faith, you know, because there's so many factors. So I embrace the chance. You know, if I have a day lead time, I'll write a cue or hire some players and send something that I think sounds like what the project should be. That's a luxury to me. I know a lot of guys hate it. The guys are like, you know who I am. And some people can rely on their past things. But for me, I look forward to demo. It's served me well. And a lot of times if I look at most of the projects I've gotten in the last few years, it's because I've demoed specifically for it. Mm-hmm. So in my world, it's a good thing. I'm sure at a certain point it's probably gets a little old for people.
Right. So now, what kind of a timeline are you given to score an individual episode of CSI Miami?
Miami, it's pretty quick. Tip would spot the show on Wednesday, get the cut on Thursday, and have to deliver it by the following Tuesday.
Now, because the TV series has multiple composers, and maybe
right.
sometimes their themes may cross over, do you consult with other composers, or are you composing a section of the show?
After Graham, it's me and another guy, Kevin Kiner.
Kevin Kiner.
There's only two of us.
Yes.
Yeah. We've done 100 episodes now. So it's just been two of us, and back in the beginning, you know, I kind of had some ideas. I wasn't that familiar with what Graham had done before mm-hmm. or the original CSI. I purposely, honestly, didn't watch them because I didn't want to just, you know, I didn't want it to just sound like the original or what Graham had done. So, you know, I kind of came into it just from my own place, and I don't know how different it is, but you know, my original thing when I demoed was I wanted to be a little more organic. It sounds based in more organic things than synth, just because that's kind of what I'm into.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of came up with a little template in the beginning of sound. You know, there's some shows will definitely be more thematic than the other. You know, if we're working on an episode and it's one that calls for it, you know, usually one of us will come up with a little melody. I tend to be the more melodic of the two. You know, a lot of times I'll come up with a little piano melody that we might use, and you know, I'll send that to Kevin, and then we'll kind of go through the scenes and figure out which ones are more thematic, which ones are more action oriented. If you know, some of them are just more general cues, and we'll split them up. But we both work on every episode together.
So it's a collaborative thing.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
And at this point, we kind of sound like each other. It's kind of scary, you know, and we'll get to a dub. It's been really good. I had never written with anyone before or, you know, split a show with someone. But looking back, it's a really great way to do it because, well, a lot of reasons. You know, it benefits the show because you get more time spent on each cue, you know. And there's a little bit of, I don't want to say competition, but, you know, I don't want my cue to be a piece of crap when I know his is going to be good. So there is, I think it raises the bar just trying to outdo each other. And in the end, I think that's good for everyone. And we always hear on the show, I mean, we rarely reuse cues. You know, so every show is pretty much written new. You know, where I know a lot of shows, once they get into series and bank some cues, cues will get tracked in and they'll reuse them. And we hardly ever do that, which, you know, which is good. I think it keeps from getting boring, you know. Our show is definitely continually changing, you know. I mean, if you listen to a cue from season 5, it doesn't sound like a cue you heard in season 3.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, the producers are just, everyone is always trying to do better, trying to reinvent it, and trying not to just keep doing the same thing every week. And that's good. It's hard. But, it keeps it from getting stale. It keeps you on your toes. It keeps you always trying new things, which is good.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned a couple of times the use of synth. But do you also use live players? Do you have the opportunity to?
On Miami, occasionally. We use a vocalist on occasion. We use some solo strings on occasion, mm-hmm. maybe once every 2 or 3 episodes. And then, you know, a few times this year we actually used a full-on 40-piece string. We've done that a handful of times. It's not every week. It really depends on the show, you know. And then there's a lot of live guitars and mandolins, and we have ouds. We have just a lot of found instruments that we'll play ourselves. But again, it always goes back to trying on every cue to have something organic.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
All right. Well, how involved does the director or producer become in your music?
Well, in TV, on CSI, definitely not the director as much, because director and TV, they're kind of, once they're done with their episode, they're kind of on to their next one. But mm-hmm. the producer's very much involved. You know, when we spot the show, they'll have an idea of what each scene should be like. A lot of times it'll be temped with our music, which is sometimes harder, but you know, a lot of times it'll be temped with some other things, and it's always changing, but very involved.
Okay.
Very involved.
And I'll have more of the interview that I did with Jeff Cardone in just a little bit, but if you're interested in any of the film, television, or video game music that I do play here on Visions and Sound, you can contact me here at the station at 884-CKMS. That's 884-2567. You can also try me online at visionsinsound2000@hotmail.com. Well, I'm going to be playing a little bit of the music from the TV series CSI Miami. I'm very excited about this, as this is a Visions in Sound premiere. Thank you.
Sorry, I'm so alive.
with a little bit of music from the TV series CSI Miami. That's music by Jeff Cardone. Well, welcome back to Visions in Sound, as I am featuring the music of course, Jeff Cardone. Now, up first, well, actually, although we didn't speak specifically about these specific movies, here is some of Jeff's music from a film called Just Friends, and also followed that up closely by a film called Save Me, back in just a little bit.
Thank you.
and with some music from the film Just Friends. That's music by Jeff Cardone. If you are interested in any of the film, television, or video game music that I do play here on Visions and Sound, you can contact me here at the station at 884-CKMS. That's 884-2567. You can also try me online at visionsinsound2000@hotmail.com. Well, I'm going to continue on with some music from Save Me.
Messages from their spaceships. Contact with us by radio. Contact with us by radio. Well, since they first tried contact with us by radio, we've developed a language computer.
CKMS 100.3 FM.
5 years I've waited for this experience.
Thank you.
and with some music from the film Save Me. That's music by Jeff Cardone. Well, hello, and welcome again to Visions in Sound, as this week I featured the music of composer of the aforementioned Jeff Cardone. And, I had a great interview with him, and here is part two of the interview that I did with Jeff.
How did you first become involved with Bonneville?
Bonneville was a movie, I guess it was about a year ago. I knew the music supervisor, so I had demoed some music for it. I think originally the film was supposed to be, well, I don't know, I think the film had some problems in the beginning, but for some reason they were looking to redo the music. And I originally heard that Chris Young was supposed to do it.
Oh.
So after I demoed, as I was trying to get it, somehow Chris Young was in the picture, and something must have happened, so Chris Young couldn't do it. So I submitted some music again, and somehow they liked some of it. I flew out to New York and talked to him, and got the job. It was a hard one, I got to say, because I think there were some, not problems, but so music became a big, big sticking point for a lot of people. So it wasn't the easiest of films, for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Firehouse Dog is the first time I actually became aware, I mean, other than your CSI Miami work,
right,
of your music. How do you prepare cues for a soundtrack?
Well, that was my first major, like, Lakeshore CD. From reading some of the reviews, I think the sequencing might not have been the best. You know, the problem with Firehouse Dog was that, first of all, the music for that, if you listen to the whole, that was, like, probably my favorite thing I've ever done.
Mm.
You know, it was very traditional, but just very big and
right,
thematic, and it was just one of the most fun times I ever had writing music. But at the end of the day, the movie had about like 82 minutes of music, so there were just a million cues. I mean, it was nonstop. So trying to pare that down into an album became kind of tough, because we all felt that you don't want to give people too much. But we ended up not putting it sequentially. You know, I think the first score cue was the last cue of the movie. So it's just trying to make it listenable, but I guess thematically, I don't know if it was the best sequencing.
How do you develop this relationship with Lakeshore, or do they come to you and say, "Hey, we'd like to release, Firehouse Dog or one of your scores"?
Yeah. Well, that one, I think as the movies got done, that movie, well, at least when we were dubbing it, I think it surprised a lot of people, and a lot of the comments were the music was so good and so big, and you know, it wasn't the biggest budget movie. I think it ended up being like a $30 million movie. But after we dubbed it, and the head of the studio saw it, he's like, "You made this movie sound like a $100 million movie." So everyone was really into it, you know, and it was big. And so somehow, you know, Lakeshore was involved. They did the New Regency. The movie was released by New Regency Fox, and I think Lakeshore has some kind of deal or something with New Regency to release their soundtracks. Or so, well, you know, at a certain point, and they sent it to Lakeshore, and they decided to put it out.
The American Pie series of films, I mean, there have been a few of those.
Yeah.
And you've kind of come into it kind of in the, when it's now a direct-to-video.
Yeah.
How do you approach these scores, knowing that there's kind of a little bit of a sort of an audio history of the American Pie scores, or are you just coming in fresh and new?
Yeah, they are what they are. You know, I looked at them, like, when I first heard, I was like, "Oh, it's straight to DVD," and it's. But at the end of the day, for me, it's like, you know what? These movies had bigger budgets than a lot of the indies I do, and the production values were really good. And to me, it's like, you know, this is something I hadn't really done, and let's just have a good time. And just going back to, you know, Christoph Beck's scores from the first, we didn't really do that. They had a couple songs that I think carried over, but these characters, for the most part, were new.
Mm-hmm.
And the two that I worked on, actually, the characters from the beginning, from the one I did, were in the next movie as well. So I did have a lot of themes that I wrote for Naked Mile that came back in Beta House. So if you listen to my two scores, there's actually a lot of thematic continuity between the two. But to the first Not so much.
Well, now, as a composer, your job is, of course, to write music. But do you use silence as a composing tool?
As much as possible. I am a big fan of not wallpapering things with music. I think that a lot of things they try to cover with too much music, and I think as a viewer it becomes exhausting. And the last few movies I've seen that really caught my ear was the first No Country for Old Men had almost no music.
Right.
But the silence just made you more tense and more. It really showed to me that how creative use of silence is as effective as music. And, you know, as composers, we like to have our music as much as we can, but I think that you have to be very careful. And obviously it depends on the kind of movie as well. But if I have any say in things, I like to use silence as much as I can. You know, the problem becomes with temp scores on a lot of these things. By the time you come in, they've heard some music in some of these scenes so many times that it's a fight to try to get people to change that. And again, it depends on the kind of movie. But, you know, Firehouse Dog was wall-to-wall-to-wall music. But in that context, it kind of worked. You know, I mean, they don't want the handheld, stripped-down version of a dog movie. But, you know, where on other things, on the more dramatic things, it probably is a little bit more effective. But, you know, if you listen to a lot of old movies, the music is just so overbearing sometimes, and you know, the composition is amazing and the composers were fantastic, but a lot of times it just it told you what to think too much, hadn't told you what to feel.
Right. Well, now you mentioned a couple of times the temp score.
Right.
How often are you up against that? What methods do you use to kind of get by that?
Man, I think we're all up against it all the time. it's a rare case, you know, unless it's like an indie movie where you come in really early. I just think the nature of the business these days is no one wants to cut anything without music. So we're all up against it. But for me, I think that I never look at a temp score and think, all right, it's orchestral here, and this chord is going up and going up, and the melody is going up. And I never think of, well, I see what it's doing. Let's just do the same thing and change one note. You know, I look at it more big picture-wise and say, like, all right, what's the emotion they're getting here, or what's the tempo? You know, I mean, you can obviously tell if something percussive comes in and that works. You can tell what emotion, why something might be working for a director. You know, why they're reacting to that. And I think our job is to take the big picture out of that and you know, not incorporate it into what we do, but, you know, use that as a starting point. You know, when this guy turns his head to the right, it's nice how something percussive comes in here. You know, something more big picture kind of thing, you know, because you never want to go and watch something and there's a temp score and, oh, it's American Beauty temped in. Okay, so we have to be marimbas and then do your first pass and be in marimbas, but sounds different, because you're just painted into a corner that you can never get out of, you know? The temp score is just kind of a basic roadmap. And then for me, really, the first pass of when you go through a film is kind of, all right, now we're really going to start the conversation about music. You know, here's the starting line. Here's, you know, I saw what you had temped in here. I watched the film a few times. This is how I kind of reacted. Now let's really start talking, you know, emotionally. Now when we watch it back, first of all, it gets people to forget about temp score, and it gets them to think about, well, wow, your ideas might actually be better than what's there. Or it just gets a gut reaction for each cue and a point to talk about. You know, I can do a cue, and they might say, well, that's too mysterious. It should be a little more sinister. And I, as a composer, I'd much rather, you know, the first thing a director will say a lot of times is, I know nothing about music, you know, so, but they all do. I mean, all you really want to know is what their emotional reaction is to something, you know, and that's more help than it should go up there, it should go down there, it should be faster, you know, because those emotional reactions are things that us, as a composer, you can you can deal with, and you can change what you did and kind of get there. And then it becomes a collaboration. Because I mean, these things, I at least in my world, I've never had one where I turned in the first pass and everyone's like, oh, that's great, that's it. You know, it's always a process. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, the end result is always better than where you started. And everyone feels like they had a part in getting there. And that's the whole thing. You have to listen, and a lot of times listen to a lot of different opinions, and a lot of times opposite views. You know, you might have producers who want something, and you might have the director want something else, and you have to somehow bridge this gap with your music and make everyone happy at the end of the day. And, you know, sometimes it's a lot harder than others, but if you can do it, you make everyone feel like their input was listened to and considered, and when you hear the final cue, everyone feels like they had a part in creating that, and everyone's happy.
Right. So how do you deliver the music these days? I mean, I don't imagine you use reel-to-reel tape anymore.
No. Yeah, it's all, most of the time it's Pro Tools. On the films, five or six films I've done, everything was done in 5.1, so you deliver a Pro Tools session with 5.1 mm-hmm. stems. For the TV stuff, we'll deliver stems to CSI. I'll upload it to an FTP site, and they download it and pop it in. It's pretty easy.
So you don't necessarily even have to be in the same city that they're editing it. You just have to upload it to wherever, and somebody can grab it there.
Yeah, many times you're not. Yeah, I did a movie of the week a little bit ago that was mm-hmm. mixed in Canada, and I never saw anybody. It's crazy.
Yeah. Okay, so how would a score that you write today differ from one you wrote at the beginning of your career?
You know, I think at a certain point a few years ago, I learned to just be simpler. I think in the beginning you're trying to show what you can do, and you're thinking more about your music than you're thinking about the film. And at the end of the day, you're there to support the film, not support your music. So I think my writing has become a little less cluttered, a little more simple, and not feeling like you have to do so much to show. You know, a good idea is a good idea. It doesn't matter if it's two notes played on the piano, and you don't have to layer 50 things on that to make it a valid idea. And it's taken me a long time to realize that. But sometimes when I look back on things I did earlier, I think I was trying to state too much with the music, and sometimes it's really leading a scene, where now simplicity is key. Granted, there's some cues, you know, doing a big, fast action cue, yeah, you can throw in the kitchen sink, but a lot of times simpler is better, especially on more emotional things, because it seems like everyone is extremely, extremely sensitive to things being sentimental. That seems more sentimental or melodramatic. So it becomes really, there's a fine line, you know, because I'm personally a sucker for music that makes you feel something, but it seems like that's a kiss of death a lot of times these days. People are very sensitive of being too over-the-top emotional. So you have to be really careful, especially if you're writing for strings, that there's a fine line between it sounding like an old movie or it really moving someone. That would probably be my answer. Simplicity and what you need to say with as few notes as possible.
Okay. So what does the future hold for you?
That's a really good question. I don't want to jinx myself. There's a movie that I'm very excited if I get, and should find out any day. It's kind of been in the works for a little bit, but with a director that I would just, you know, chew my right arm off to work with. So that could be good. You know, I'm also doing, there's a new TV series on ABC called Misguided. Mm-hmm. It's a mid-season show that we did. That was, the EP was the director from Firehouse Dog. So that's how he came onto that. That's been a lot of fun. It's a half-hour comedy, which I had never done. But it's scored much more like a filmic than, it's not a sitcom for sure. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of fun. I'm not quite sure. You know, I kind of started doing indie films. That was kind of where I started. CSI kind of took me on a little turn. because I always intended to be a film guy, and now I'm kind of doing a little of both, so we'll see. Someone told me you can't really tell you where your career is going to go. You kind of just have to hold on for the ride and see where it leads you. We'll see where I end up. You know, I enjoy writing films because I love working with the orchestra and working with the live players, mm-hmm. and you tend to be able to do that a little bit more in film, so... You know, with a bit of luck, that's where we'll end up.
Well, I appreciate the time you've given me today.
Oh, thank you. This was a blast.
Yeah, it certainly was a blast. I had a great time with speaking with Jeff. So, if you're interested in any of the film, television, or video game music that I do play here on Visions and Sound, you can call me here at the station at 884-CKMS. That's 884-2567. You can also try me online at visionsinsound2000 at hotmail.com. Haven't received an email in a while, so it'd be kind of nice to get one. So welcome back to Visions and Sound as we present some music from Jeff Cardone. Up first, or at least in this section anyway, is music from the movie Bonneville. And then I'll follow up with some music from Jeff's music, or from Jeff's score to American Pie, The Naked Mile, and Beta House. And then I'll follow that up with his favorite score, one of his more recent favorite scores, is the Firehouse Dog. So I'll be back in just a little bit. Here is Bonneville. and with some music from Bonneville. That's music by Jeff Cardone, and you can find that on Lakeshore Records. Well, if you're interested in any of the film, television, or video game music that I do play here on Visions and Sound, you can contact me here at the station at 884-CKMS. That's 884-2567. You can also try me online at visionsinsound2000@hotmail.com. Well, here is a little bit of music from Jeff Cardone's score to American Pie, both from Beta House and The Naked Mile. Back in just a little bit. We'll be right back. And with a little bit of music from both American Pie's The Naked Mile and Beta House. That's music by Jeff Cardone. Well, getting close to the end of the program, but if you're interested in any of the film, television, or video game music that I do play here on Visions and Sound, you can contact me here at the station at 884-CKMS. That's 884-2567. You can also try me online at visionsinsound2000@hotmail.com. Well, moving on to the final score of today's program, this is music from Firehouse Dog, with music by Jeff Cardone.
Yeah.
Well, that's all for me this week. Hope you've enjoyed this look at the music of Jeff Cardone. If you're interested in any of the film, television, or video game music that I do play here on Visions and Sound, by all means, give me a call here, at least for the next few minutes anyway, at 884-CKMS. That's 884-2567. You can also try me online at visionsinsound2000@hotmail.com. Firehouse Dog is also available on, yes, Lakeshore Records. I was going to say something else and I didn't want to screw it up, so Lakeshore Records. So, that's all for me. I'll play some more music from Firehouse Dog, and I'll be back next week with more Visions in Sound.